plus the next best Ontario Conference team, whether it be the conference champion or the second place team.
And that goes October 30th. That starts, so they'll have a weekend off before they go into that one. And also points out as well, rookie head coach Robin Dabrero picking up his first Canada West championship, and it was 11 of the past 12 that they've won. And also point out as well that Hannah Hahn led the Canada West in scoring with 11 goals on the season.
Yeah, with that, we'll remind you one more time of our play-by-play coverage of UBC Thunderbirds teams this week. It'll be tomorrow in the women's hockey matchup, University of Regina Cougars versus the Thunderbirds. We'll have face-off and play-by-play coverage for you starting at 7 o'clock from the Thunderbird Arena. Tune us in on our website at citr.ca for that. So for Lenny Tabakman, CJ Pentland, I'm Jason Wang for CITR Sports here on Thunderbird Eye. We'll be right back.
Good afternoon. You are tuned in now to the Student Special Hour on CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is Eleanor, and I will be one of your hosts for today. We have a great show lined up for you. We have a few UBC students who recently participated in the Welfare Food Challenge here to talk about that challenge and their experience. So stay tuned in for that. But first, we're going to play a track from Homeshake off of his new album, In the Shower. Enjoy. That was Home at Last by Homeshake off of his new album, In the Shower. And he is a Canadian artist. Actually used to play guitar in Mac DeMarco's band. So you're tuned in now to the Student Special Hour on CITR Radio. And we are joined in the studio today by Kate Kaiso.
Hello.
And Samantha Truong. And we're talking to them because they recently participated in the Welfare Food Challenge to raise awareness about raising welfare rates in BC. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So for those listening who aren't aware of this challenge, can you please give us an explanation?
Sure. So what the Welfare Food Challenge is that over 100 participants across BC lived on $21 for food this whole week. So that $21 got broken down into $3 a day for food, and that included everything. So you weren't allowed to use anything in your home. You weren't allowed to use free food or accept any donations from friends, even though they really tried. So pretty much what I bought was rice, oatmeal, bananas, some potatoes, sugar, and 2 cans of beans. And that's not a lot, but that's what I had to live on for this week. And it was just to give us a taste of what people on welfare have to survive on for their lives.
Wow. Okay, so what was it about this challenge that made you want to participate?
Sure. So I'm currently taking a social work course, and every day in class it's actually pretty depressing because we have a lot of issues surrounding poverty in BC, and I wanted to do this challenge to do something positive, to try to raise awareness and to try to get the word out about the struggles a lot of people in BC are facing.
Nice. What are some of the things that you... Sorry, it's a week long, right?
Yeah, that's right. So every month, people on welfare get $610.
Okay.
And that has to include what they need to pay for rent,
mm-hmm.
Utilities, bus tickets, any medical costs,
mm-hmm.
and then whatever's left is for food. So if you can imagine paying a normal rent, like what UBC students are paying, that's $610 right there.
Right.
So they really have hardly anything to live on for food.
So you participated in this challenge for, it was a week long. And what do you feel like you learned over the course of that week?
I learned that it is so difficult to budget and to plan for meals that are going to keep you from being hungry. And, you know, going into a grocery store, I went in with $3 in coins, and I really needed a couple of potatoes and bananas just so I wouldn't have to go hungry for the last couple of days. And, you know, I learned that there's an anxiety there of not knowing if you're going to have enough money. And I also learned to really respect everyone that is having to live on welfare, because the amount of effort it takes is just ridiculous. And in addition, I was fortunate enough to still be allowed to live, you know, in my apartment. I have a kitchen, so I could use the fridge, the oven, the microwave. But a lot of people on welfare, they don't even have kitchens, or they're sharing them with like 15 people. And they're you know, they might be broken or really dirty. And so what they can cook with that $21 a week is right there, like makes it more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned about those challenges too.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything that happened throughout the course of the week that you really weren't expecting, or that surprised you, or kind of do you feel like you had a good sense of what it would be like before you went in?
I missed coffee. Coffee is a luxury.
For sure.
I didn't really know that before going on this challenge, but if you think about going to Starbucks and paying like $3
mm-hmm.
for a coffee, and then that's someone's like day of food.
For sure.
And I also learned that there's tons and tons of stereotypes against poor people. And there's a lot of opinions out there that are like poor people are lazy, or they're choosing to be on welfare, or $21 a week, like they should totally be able to live off that. And I think it's not until you do a challenge like this or you read stories that you really understand that those stereotypes are so far off the actual mark. And these people are trying their hardest to get by. And, you know, a lot of them are working, but they're working at minimum wage and they're just scraping by.
So I guess moving forward, what are the ways that people can learn more about this cause, or
yeah.
who are interested in taking the challenge to the next step?
Mm-hmm.
Where should they look to?
So the main point of this challenge is to raise awareness and to raise the welfare rates.
Mm-hmm.
So that $610 I've been saying has been constant since 2007. It hasn't gone up with inflation. And the next step is that we really want to draw attention to BC MLAs, or our premier, and we want them to have a poverty reduction plan, and we want them to start caring for the thousands of people in BC who are having to live like this.
For sure. Is there a location that people can visit to get more information?
Sure. www.welfarefoodchallenge.org. There's tons of links there, and you can read a lot of people's blogs, their day-to-day, how it was on this challenge.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming and talking about your experience today. We appreciate it. Any final concluding thoughts?
Just check out the website, and next time you see someone on the streets, just think that person deserves all the respect you have.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to take a quick break from chatting here and listen to a track by the artist Japanese Treats called In the Television Hours. And we'll be back after that.
Understand. They'll never understand.
You're tuned in now to CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver. That was a song In the Television Hours by the band Japanese Treats, who are Canadian. I can't remember right now where they're from, but check them out on Bandcamp if you like the sound. Oh, they're from Edmonton, I'm being informed. We have very special guests in the studio today. For those of you just tuning in, we are talking to participants of the Welfare Food Challenge, which just finished today, and it is a challenge that aims to raise awareness about welfare rates in BC. So we just heard from Kate Kaisau, and now we're going to hear from Samantha Truong. So thanks for being here today.
Yeah, not a problem. Thanks for inviting me in. I'm excited to speak.
So we heard a little bit about the challenge from Kate before, but could you give us a little bit of a historical
you say yes, sell it. If you have a car, sell it. If you have this watch, sell it, sell it, sell it. And it really sets someone up for permanent poverty. It's not a prevention. It's a Band-Aid situation, and it's upsetting to see.
Wow.
Yeah.
On that note, what, and Kate touched on this a little bit earlier, but currently BC doesn't have a reduction plan for poverty, correct?
You are correct. So BC is one of the provinces that has the most wealth in Canada. That being said, we also have the highest child poverty rate. It's 18.6%, which is 153,000 children in BC that are living in poverty. So these are kids that are experiencing what I have experienced, having $1 a day for a meal, etc. How are you supposed to grow with that kind of diet? That being said, the cost of poverty in BC is $8 billion every year from health, from that's what's costing our poverty system. But a full poverty reduction plan would cost $4 billion, a savings of $4 billion in money and a huge savings in human well-being. So I don't know why the government isn't acting yet. And we really need to get that implemented to see some progress and but the potential our province has as a whole.
Definitely, definitely. So through doing this challenge and the work that you, it seems like you do in your work here at UBC, what are some of the maybe myths or common misconceptions that you're hoping to challenge?
It's funny that you ask, because the other day I was booting at UBC asking people to sign the Raise the Rate petition.
Right. And what I mean, maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
The Raise the Rate petition, I'll just briefly mention it, that we have it up. It's just to show that you support to raise welfare rates. You can sign it to get the numbers up. We need 5,000. Right now we're about 2,800. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I was at the booth asking people to sign it. I was there for about 4 hours the whole day. I only planned to be there for two, but the dialogue that was generated between student after student was just so rich that I had to stay. The question...
Sorry, it's okay. I totally threw you off there. I was just going to... some of the myths that maybe hope to challenge.
Okay, the myths are... I had students come up to me and say, oh, $610? That's so much a month, or $21 a week. People were even giving me advice how to spend my $21 a week to make more efficiently.
Interesting.
And the fact is that, like, I've had some culinary training at the Art Institute. I am a healthy, resourceful young woman, and I know where to put that $21. It's not that I'm not resourceful. It's the fact that this is not enough money.
Yeah.
A lot of other myths I heard throughout boothing was, if we raise welfare rates, our economy will be messed up. Or these people are lazy. They need to get their thing together. And even just posting some of my articles on the Georgia Strait, the 24 hours newspaper, I've had some, like, a lot of negative feedback and overwhelming positive feedback. But that's what you get once you kind of speak about these topics. Mm-hmm. Or people might say, welfare is only temporary. People don't rely on it forever. But like I said, with the rates, I mean, 110,000 people out of 180 are living on this permanently.
Right.
And these are myths. No one deserves or choose to be on welfare. My parents coming to Canada as immigrants escaping from the Vietnam War, they didn't choose to be on welfare. They took a boat from Mongai all the way to Macau. And through that process, their boat got shipwrecked on an island and they thought they were gone. However, they found a ship not too far from the island there are. They got the strongest swimmer from that island. They swam all the way to that boat and said, hey, we're on the island. We have no food and we're lost. We need help. And the boat came. Then they took them to a refugee camp in Macau for a good, it was six months to a year before every family member was reconnected because they all were on different boats.
Mm-hmm.
And we were so fortunate to get a sponsor family from Dunbar, which is not too far from UBC, take our whole family of and sponsor them to Vancouver. So yes, my parents were on welfare, but they genuinely were not. They needed it. They didn't ask to be there. And my dad was learning the language English, trying to find work. He currently catches crab, which I really adore and love that he does that. I get some fresh crab in the summertime. He's probably listening now and just laughing and enjoying this crab. But yes, going back to the point, we don't choose to be on welfare. From my family's experience and from hundreds of people you can listen to by just simply asking and talking to them. So these rates need to be increased because people cannot live adequately on it, as I have experienced. And I don't know what else to say, but just get involved. Have dialogue with your friends, your classmates, because I really think conversation is how things spark and what really makes movement. And then go to the next level. Talk to your MLA. Have a discussion with your professor. Volunteer your time at a poverty reduction organization. Sign the petition. There's many ways. Just follow some of those steps and your opportunities will grow and see ways as you can help.
Yeah, definitely. So where can people go to sign the petition?
Yes. So if you just go to my friend Google and type in, he's my friend, or she, if it's a girl. Anyways, going on. You type in raise the rates petition, and then it'll be the first link that comes up. And you just can do it online, put your name and things like that, and you will be signed on to that. And it'd be a powerful petition to show that, hey, 5,000 people in this province support to raise the rates. I don't know why we're not seeing things yet. And that's how they can find that website. You can also go to my blog, which is SamanthaDoesWelfareFoodChallenge.com. Or it's under the WordPress, so you might have to go through that. But all the information of how I've been coping, what I've been eating, how I've been feeling is on that blog, along with some photos as well for you to see.
Awesome. Yeah. So for those of you listening, you can also visit the CITR Facebook page where we've posted a link to Samantha's blog, so you can find that through there. So
thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Well, thank you so much for being here today and talking to us about the challenge and everything surrounding it. Do you have any final concluding thoughts or, you know, messages that you want to pass along?
I mean, for anyone that's listening today, I encourage you to really take this message and make it the start of your advocacy and education towards knowing why you should raise the rates. If you're already doing it, hope this message can motivates you, push you to continue on that, and just create some dialogue and awareness. And I really want to thank the awesome CITR for letting me be here today and sharing the story, because honestly, without awareness and education, these things really can't get moving along. So these radio stations that support this thing and let us speak are vital. So thanks.
Yeah, no worries. Great. Well, best of luck with the rest of the campaign.
Thank you.
All right. So now we're going to take another quick break and hear from an artist from Victoria, Hannes Smoll, off of her newest album, Whitest Whiteness. And the song is called Giantess.
Shifting, we'll say where there's rage, we'll call. If you're going to be a zombie, be one with a brain. With Halloween just around the corner, the provincial government is doing something very scary by closing the only dedicated public youth medical clinic in Vancouver. The Pine Free Youth Clinic has been providing safe, confidential, effective, community-based health services for young adults and teens on the west side for over 40 years. The provincial government is closing this important clinic on October 31st. That's why David Eby, the MLA for Vancouver Point Grey, is standing up for the clinic with one last rally, a zombie walk to bring the Pine Free Clinic back from the dead. Come show your support for community-based, dedicated healthcare for young people at the zombie walk to save the Pine Free Youth Clinic. It all takes place Sunday, October 26th from 1 to 2 p.m. in front of the clinic at West 4th and Maple Street in Kitsilano. Bring your best zombie outfit. Together we can bring the Pine Free Youth Clinic back to life. Non-zombies also welcome. Bruh.
Was the song Widowmaker by The Mean Reds off of their album, no?
The Mean Reds.
If you don't like the way I say it, then why don't you say it yourself, John? Who played that song?
It was The Mean Reds. Ah. And the song was called Widowmaker.
Off of their album, Holidaying in the Psychotropics.
Holidaying. It's holidaying.
This is the Student Special Hour on CITR. My name is Eleanor, co-hosting with John Q today.
Hey.
We had a couple of special guests in earlier. They've since left, but thanks to Kate and Samantha for talking to us about the Welfare Food Challenge in BC.
Yeah, it was very informative.
Yeah, it was. I learned a lot of stuff that I didn't know before, and I think it's pretty cool what they're doing.
If you missed out on it...
I don't know what to say.
Well, but I do. You could find the podcast.
Yeah, we do podcasts.
We are a radio station. So not too much time left here, but we're going to play a couple tracks from some bands playing in the city tonight.
And you have a show.
I do have a show.
Tomorrow on Fridays at 1, is
one
it?
To 2. 1 Femme to 2. Concept. Femme Concept
that you host with Erica. And
I do.
You have you have some content for the show.
I mean, yes. That's actually going to go
contingent
on what we're about to play.
Tonight.
Yes. That's actually, though, that's going to be played on Nelly's show.
Okay.
Another excellent CITR show on Friday mornings.
So many shows.
The Cat's Pajamas.
That you could be listening to instead of this one. But please stay tuned in.
Yes. But yeah, so we're going to play some stuff from La Sura and from King Tuff, because they are playing at Fortune Sound Club tonight. And myself and Nelly, host of Cat's Pajamas on CITR, are interviewing La Sura tonight. So very exciting. Tune in probably next week to hear that interview.
What's the deal with La Sura? Like,
she's from LA. Mm-hmm. She used to be in the Vivian Girls. Excellent kind of lo-fi grunge girl.
Totally.
Grunge punk poppy band. They're hard to explain. You should listen to them. But La Sura is a bass player, and she has her own project that she does on her own. And she released an album earlier this year called Hour of the Dawn, and it is really fantastic. Mm-hmm. I really like it. So I'm stoked to see her play tonight and to chat with her all about that. So we are going to hear the song Fall in Place from that album.
Touching the feathers of hair on her cheekbones. And firmly she holds me and says, oh my baby, where will we go?
That blow your mind, Eleanor?
It did.
Okay.
I'm ready for it to blow my mind even more when I see it live tonight.
Where?
Hey, that was a natural progression. That's King Tuff with the song Staircase of Diamonds playing at Fortune Sound Club tonight. Not my favorite, personally my favorite venue, but you know, they have a good sound system.
I think it's pretty fresh.
Do you?
Yeah.
And what constitutes a sound system being fresh exactly?
I just mean the whole scene.
The whole fresh is not the word that I would use personally to describe it, I don't think, but maybe that's just me.
Coming up next, we've got a song from Fountain, off the album Fountain.
Oh.
And I think this is the last track we're going to be able to play today.
Yeah, we have about 4 minutes left before, what's the show on next, John?
I think it's Cymorg.
Oh, nice.
The show about Persian myth.
Nice.
And culture.
Awesome. Well, stay tuned in for that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Oh, and Eleanor, I just want to say that was a really great interview you conducted.
Oh, thanks.
Learned a lot. I just like to thank you for all the hard work you put in on the Student Special Hour. Thanks.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
It's really nice. I don't know. For those of you who aren't here, we have a whole crowd of people just that have been hanging out waiting to clap.
Oh, wait. They're not finished.
Oh, they're not done. They're not done. There's more clap.
Oh.
Okay.
Please, give Eleanor some space, everyone.
Who tune in next week, Student Special Hour, for maybe some Halloween stuff. Who knows? Fountain are playing this weekend at Red Gate, I believe, on Saturday night with Peace and Cave Girl and one other band. So you can check them out there. They are some friends of ours from Victoria. Great band. So, yeah.